Is Jesus God? Find out today on Change by Grace. Welcome to Change by Grace. I'm Pastor Steve Herford. We've been in a study this month answering the question, who is Jesus? As you celebrate this Christmas day, my prayer is that you understand fully who Jesus is. We have looked at his miraculous birth and his miraculous titles that are used of him. Today we'll consider more as we learn what all this means. Who is Jesus? Let's find out.
Well, let's look at some of the titles that are given then. It says in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The Alpha and the Omega is the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet. The first letter is Alpha, the last one is Omega. He is the first and the last. When he is called here Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, and so forth, throughout the book of Revelation, that is essentially saying the same thing. He is Alpha and Omega. You even read over in John 6:35, just listen to some of these titles that are given to him. You remember he said that I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. And he's saying right there that he is the bread of life. Not only is he the Alpha and Omega, he is the bread of life. How about in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 15? He calls himself the bridegroom. What are we? We are the bride. We're waiting on him to come and take us back to be with him. He says there in Matthew 9:15, the Pharisees are confronting him, confronting about his disciples not fasting. And Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. See, when he's there, there's no need for it. When he's taken away, then there's a need for it. But he is called Alpha and Omega. He's called the bread of life. He's called the bridegroom. And how about this? In John 14:16, he is called the Comforter. You say, wait a minute, I thought the Holy Spirit was called the Comforter. Well, he is. But notice this verse. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Another comforter. Ale parakletos, another like unto myself. He will come alongside. He will come alongside and teach you, that he may abide with you forever. Well, what about some of these other titles? Again, we could spend all day. Have you ever seen one of those posters that are pinned up on the wall? I think Greg had one of these. And it just had all these different titles about Christ. It's amazing for one person to have that many titles. In a world in which we live, that sometimes is title bound, aren't they? I mean, they want the title. Charles Swan and myself, we kind of joke around with some of those titles. You know, sometimes you read at the end of somebody's name, they got all these little degrees and stuff that they got. Well, we just put Chef Boyardee and just leave it alone right there. You know what I mean? Because it gets a little ridiculous after a while. But notice some of these other titles. And it's nothing like Chef Boyardee. But it's more like this, that Jesus is the door. It says in John 10:7, Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Now what's that saying right there? When these people came to my door yesterday, they were at my door, but were they at the door of Christ? They missed Him. They're walking around saying, let me tell you about the words of Jesus. That's all they are to them, is just a bunch of words. Because they don't have the truth. They don't believe the truth is taught about Him. They didn't come to the door. They came in some other way. And what did Jesus say about someone coming some other way? He's a thief and a robber. And a thief and robber comes to kill, steal, and destroy. See, that describes satanic activity, doesn't it? That describes demonic activity. You think it's demonic activity that someone believes something different than what's in this book? Absolutely. They're bound under sin. Ephesians chapter 2 says that we're bound under sin apart from Christ. And it's only when Christ comes in that He breaks the bondage. The reality of knowing who He is breaks that bondage as you know who He is and surrender to Him. And I'll say this, to know who He is and not surrender to Him is a greater offense. What do you think about Judas? The Scripture says about Judas, it had been better he had never been born because of what he did. And the fact that he knew who Jesus was and he still betrayed Him. Now how do you unscramble that? Because the prophecies talk about the fact that he would do that. But it says here that He is the door. In 1 John 2:20, it says He is the Holy One. It says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One and know all things. Let me say this. The anointing is the Holy Spirit. The one that it came from, which is the Holy One, is Jesus Christ. We have been given the Holy Spirit by Jesus Christ. That goes right along with John 14 and John 15. And what Jesus said to the apostles in Acts chapter 1, that it was expedient that He goes away. And that's why He told them to wait for the promise of the Father, that He was going to send. And so we see that we have the anointing, and the anointing is the Holy Spirit. It came from Jesus Christ. He is the Holy One. Notice also, this is a verse I want to camp on for just a moment. It's found in John 8. Look with me at John chapter 8. And let me ask you this simple question. Do you think the people there, the crowds, understood some things that He was saying when He made this statement right here? How about the religious leaders? He's sitting here talking about Abraham. And He's sitting here talking about the fact that they did not even obey what Moses or Abraham had said. And you get over here in verse 57, then the Jews said to Him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Now here's the statement that got them all upset. Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And then it says, they took up stones to throw at Him, but Jesus hid Himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of the temple, or going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Why did they respond that way? I mean, think about it. Why did they react like that? You know what He was saying? He was saying that He is the I Am of Exodus 3. He's the I Am. You remember that story? The burning bush? And you remember when the voice spoke out of that bush and Moses thought that was an amazing sight and he wanted to turn around and gaze at it, and God told him as He called out from the midst of the bush to take your shoes off because you're standing on holy ground? You remember that? And you remember when God commissions Moses to go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go? And you remember after all this dialogue back and forth, because Moses was looking at the inadequacy of his lips instead of understanding that God would be his lips? What did He say? Who shall I say who has sent me? What did God say? I am who I am. Jesus is claiming right here in John 8:58 that He is the I Am. In fact, you can read back some verses that you read this way. When He says, I am the bread of life, it reads this way. I am who I am, the bread of life. It's the Greek word ego eimi, and it means I am who I am. When He says here in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, it reads back this way. I am who I am, the way, the truth, and the life. He is God. He is Lord God. He's God become flesh. He's God who dwelt among us. Listen to some of the other titles that are found here. In Revelation 17:14, it says, then they will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with Him are called chosen and faithful. I was reading that this morning. I was thinking really more about the titles that are given to us, called chosen and faithful. Now we know, according to Ephesians 1:4, that we've been chosen to Him before the foundation of the world. But what about faithfulness? He's called us unto good works, hasn't He? Ephesians 2:10, which He ordained before the world began, that we should walk in them. What characterizes your life? If you're here today and you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've been chosen. You didn't get here on your own. You said, yeah, I did. I got in my car. I drove up here. I'm not talking about that. You're here because you've been chosen. You're here because He chose you before the foundation of the world. He wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. He didn't, the moment you bowed your knee or you got into baptism or anything, all of a sudden write your name in the book. It was written in there before the foundation of the world. What's that say about salvation? It's all of Him. What do you contribute to it? The only thing you contribute to it is surrendering, and you can't even surrender unless He does that in your life, unless He draws you to Himself. Do I tell unbelievers that? No. I don't understand that. I barely can understand that. But what do we tell unbelievers? We tell them that you need to turn, you need to come to Jesus, you need to surrender right now. That's what we tell them. So we see that He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. about what John the Baptist again says. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." What's he called? The Lamb of God. About in John 8:12, he says, "I am the light of the world." There's that "I am" phrase. Then, of course, John 14:6, "the way, the truth, and the life." And then look at this one, John 4:42. "Then they said to the woman," this is the Samaritans, "Now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard Him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." The Christ there, you remember we defined that last week? It's the Greek word that reflects the Hebrew word, Mashiach or Messiah. That is the Greek equivalent of that Hebrew word. He is Messiah. In fact, the Greek word literally means the Anointed One. He is the Anointed One. He is the Messiah. And the people there came to that understanding of themselves, not just because of what the woman proclaimed, but they came to that reality that this is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Now, what's the point of knowing all these titles? Just so you have some knowledge? The point of the titles is to reveal the reality of who Jesus is, so that will bring you to your knees to show you that you need Him. Because if He is all these things, why did God come to this world? Why did He come to this earth? Why did He come through the means that He came? Through a virgin. Beloved, that takes faith to believe that. How many people you know have been born of a virgin? I don't know any. Never have and never will, because there was only one. And you won't know any either but Him. We know in Greek mythology that there was the claim of that, Zeus and so forth. But what's all of this mean? That He is all of this? That all these titles are true about Him? It means that the God, the baby, the child in the manger is in fact Lord God. Why did He come to this earth? He came to this earth to save you from your sin. He came to die in your place. What's that mean if I never recognize that? It means that you'll spend all eternity paying back the debt of your sin to a holy God. And you'll spend it there in punishment and anguish in hell. People today don't believe in hell. I'm reading a book right now called Hell on Trial. People do not believe. And what's sad about it is coming from the pulpits. Pastors preaching that there is no hell. Or that there's a universalism. Everybody's going to get saved. Does the Bible say everybody's going to get saved? Or they're saying that when you die, it just ends right there. You're going to be annihilated. Does the Bible say that? What kind of hope is that if all I got to look for is to be annihilated? Because the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There's our hope. That very moment when I leave this body, I go into His presence. I don't go into a grave. I don't go into a casket, you know, buried in the ground, and I just lay there dormant and unconscious and not knowing what's going on. No, what happens, my body goes there, but my spirit goes to be with Him. And then at the resurrection, you know what's going to happen? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I'm going to be given a new body. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 and following, talks about you'd be given a new body. And some of us looking around at ourselves and looking around at others, we say, we need some new bodies. Amen? And that's something to shout hallelujah about. That's something to rejoice in. To know what Jesus Christ has done and what He has revealed to you. Man, I feel privileged that He has granted me and others around me the understanding of who He is. Beloved, that ought to produce in your life a desire for Him. A desire to live for Him. A desire to honor Him. Let's look at some claims. The claims of Jesus. Notice what we see here. Well, when you go back to the situation at the woman at the well in John chapter 4, to the woman at the well, what did He claim to be? Well, notice what it says here. The woman said to Him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I am He who is speaking to you." What is He claiming there? What does she say that she was looking for? The Messiah. What is He claiming? I am the Messiah. I am the one you're looking for. That's pretty bold. How about to the disciples? What did He say to them? Matthew 16:20. "Then He commanded His disciples that they should not tell no one that He was Jesus the Christ." What did we say that phrase meant? He was the Messiah. So Jesus claimed to be the Messiah. Kenneth Copeland doesn't believe Jesus claimed to be the Messiah. And if you're watching that stuff, you need to turn it off, because that's heresy. If you watch Jimmy Swaggart, you need to turn that stuff off too, because he doesn't believe in the Trinity. See? You need to know what these people are teaching if you're watching this stuff. And God forbid you're sending them money to fund that false teaching. You know what I mean? You know, when Jimmy Swaggart was confronted about his adulterous relationship with a prostitute, he was preaching on Rahab the harlot at the same time. And what the world exposed was what the church was supposed to expose, to not take the man and give him 3 months off and then bring him back. Oh, and by the way, he's okay now because one of these other TV evangelists has cast a demon out of him. What do you think about all that stuff? I think that's a mockery of Christ. That's a mockery of the church. That's a mockery of the Word of God. And yet we sit back and we watch that stuff because it's on TV and we say, it's got to be true. Beloved, we got to know what we believe and why we believe what we believe. We got to be able to back up what's being taught by the Word of God. That's the only thing that we have to reveal whether what they're saying is true or not. I mean, you take what we've looked at this morning. Very simple, just looking at titles and names of Christ. Not very hard to interpret this, especially when He says, I am He. When He says, I am the Messiah. See, when He makes these claims of Himself, it doesn't take a whole lot of interpretation, does it? But yet there are people out there saying other things. They're saying other things about Him that are not true, that cannot be backed up in the Word of God. Notice what else He claimed. John chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Jesus answered them, My Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill Him. Why? Because He not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was His Father, making Himself equal with God. Making Himself equal with God. They understood what He was saying. Matthew 26, 63, before the high priest. Jesus kept silent, it says there. And the high priest answered and said to Him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, It is as you have said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Now, what did Jesus claim by those two verses? That He is the Son of God. But this is the one that I have the most fun with. Over in John 10, verse 33, He said, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone Him. Jesus answered them, Many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered Him, saying, For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God. They understood what He was saying. John 8:58, we just read, Before Abraham was, I am. What is Jesus claiming to be? He's claiming to be God. He's claiming to be God. There are many who affirmed who He is and what He claimed. Take Andrew and Philip. You take the people of Samaria. You take Thomas, my Lord and my God. What about you? How do you take Him? If you take Him any other way, you don't take Him at all. Because that's how He is revealed in Scripture. What impact does this have on your life? It should change your life. It should revolutionize your life. You shouldn't walk out of here as the same person today because of what you've learned about Jesus from the Word of God. It should make you a different person. It should bring you to your knees and to cry out for the mercy of God when you realize that Jesus Christ is one day going to judge this world for its sinfulness. It should make you fall down on your knees and ask Him to save you. It should bring you to your knees and thank Him that He did save you. So where are you at this morning? If someone came and knocked at your door and said, Hi, I want to talk to you about Jesus Christ, what would you do? Would your heart pound and get this lump in your throat and wouldn't know what to say? Or would you say, Oh, come on in. Would you like some coffee? Let's sit down and talk about this. Oh, they go back to their people and they say, We had a good reception today. This lady invited us in. Where does she live? Come on, you go with me. We're going to go over there. We got a meeting next Tuesday. You see what it turns into? You see, we don't want to entertain that. Now, how many of you in here have tried to clean up the pieces that those things have created? Beloved, Jesus Christ is God. He came to this earth as a man. 100% man, 100% God. He left heaven's glory to come to earth. And when He left heaven's glory to come to earth, that was utter humiliation. Read Philippians 2. And according to Philippians 2, that He didn't look at the equality He had with God as something to be grasped, but He set it aside. What did He set it aside for? He became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He did that for you and me. He died in our place. Every person coming into this world is on death row. Even the little babies in the womb. Because David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. There must be a Savior. And that Savior has been revealed. It's Jesus. And who is Jesus? He's God. Can you support that on your own? Can you walk out of here today and tell what the Bible says about who He really is? Not just because your pastor shared this with you, but because you see it in the Word of God as well. Can you share that with somebody? Well, we can look at it this way. You are now charged to share that with somebody because everything that God gives us, we are now responsible for. So take the truth that you have discovered and take that to somebody. Share with them the true meaning of Christmas. That's the true meaning. It's not gifts and Christmas lights and trees and all that stuff. That stuff's nice. I was on the roof the other day putting lights up and all that stuff. And Teresa was running around the house putting more stuff out. And I was thinking, baby, we got enough stuff out here. You know? What's He mean to you? I pray that He is your Lord and your God, as John, as Thomas rather, has proclaimed to us in John 20. Heavenly Father, we want to ask right now that You would move upon our heart. Father, that You would bring us to the place of the reality of these truths that have been shared this morning. I pray that You would forgive us of our sin, and God, that You would come in our life. If we're here this morning and don't know You personally, and don't know the God of the Bible that we just talked about here, Father, open up eyes, open up hearts. Bring that person in here this morning unto that truth that Jesus Christ is the way. And if they're searching for some other way, they have missed the only way because He said He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by Me. Open their eyes, Father. Open up their hearts. Help them to see their sin and see that Jesus is their Savior who came to take away their sins, who died in their place to give them eternal life. Bring them to that place, Father. And then, Lord, I pray for each of us in here that know You and that have come to experience salvation, that have already come to these truths and these realities. God, I pray that we will be encouraged and challenged this morning to take this message right here outside these doors and to tell others about You. Forgive us for our sin of omission. Father, when You prompt our heart to talk to someone about Christ and we don't, forgive us, God, for the excuses that we make of not talking about Your Son. Forgive us, Father, by saying that we're just afraid or don't know what to say. All those are just excuses because You have given us Your Word. And even if we walk in with our Bible and open up the Bible and just start reading, we would have been more obedient than just sitting there not saying anything or not going. So God, forgive us. I ask You of that. Move in our heart right now. Bring people to Yourself, Lord. I pray right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Who is Jesus Christ? Well, as we've been studying for these last 4 weeks, the answer is He is God. He is God in human flesh. And as you celebrate today, this Christmas day, will you understand that He is the reason for the season? He is the one who dominates the Word of God. It is He who the Old Testament prophets spoke of. It is He who fulfills those prophecies. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. I pray that you will see yourself as a sinner
and turn your life to Jesus Christ, that you will repent and turn to Him. As we conclude our time together today, I would like to read to you from the writer of Hebrews' perspective about the identity of Jesus Christ. Listen to what he writes. He says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did He ever say, You are my Son, today I have begotten you, and again I will be to Him a Father, and He shall be to me a Son. But when He again brings the firstborn into the world, He says, Let all the angels of God worship Him. And of the angels, He says, Who makes His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire? But to the Son, He says, Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, Your God, has anointed You with the oil of gladness more than Your companions. And You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of Your hands. They will perish, but You remain. And they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed. But You are the same, and Your years will not fail. But to which of the angels has He ever said, Sit at My right hand till I make Your enemies Your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Jesus Christ is God. The Father said that in Hebrews 1:8, but to the Son He says, Your throne, O God. You've been listening to a study this month called Who is Jesus? Taken from Matthew chapter 1. This message is available on cassette tape for $3, on CD for $5. To learn more about how you can obtain this message in either format, call us today at 904-651-3351 or visit us online at www.changedbygrace.org. Change by Grace is a ministry of Change by Grace Community Church in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm Pastor Steve Herford, and I want to thank you for listening today. And again, to learn more about our ministry, call us today at 904-651-3351. Merry Christmas.